This is Dale Connolly reporting, a news program that is not to be believed. This week, Brick Walters brings us a special medical report sure to tug at your heartstrings. Perhaps it will make your blood boil or pique your interest. It may even get your goat if you've got a goat to get. It's about a child, a family, an HMO, and a renegade visionary, or a reckless crackpot, depending on your point of view. In addition to all that, it's a story of the season. Charming, alarming, and provocative. And once you've heard it, it's entirely possible that you will never be the same again. We call it Cursed with a Thirst. Our baby is a vampire.
Bob and Carmen Calliwell realized their baby was a vampire when she took her first meal.
We were alone in Carmen's hospital room with the baby just after getting back from delivery, and I noticed the teeth when she yawned.
Yeah, I saw them too.
I thought Carmen was sleeping at the time.
But I wasn't sleeping. I fainted.
Two tiny teeth. Very pointy. I called the nurse and said, hey, this baby has fangs. Well, the nurses just shrugged. It wasn't important to them. They saw it as a case of advanced development and told us about one baby who was born with chest hair.
I wasn't soothed by that. I decided not to breastfeed.
And I supported her in that. But what really got our attention was when the baby got her first bottle.
Instead of taking the nipple, she slipped around to the side and bit the bottle in the neck.
Yes.
Two tiny punctures with formula spurting out all over her, me, the bed, and you, Bob, remember?
Oh, yes. At first I thought it was cute. You know, I got a picture.
What Bob and Carmen Calliwell also got was the runaround as they began to make the case to doctors, nurses, and hospital administrators that something was wrong. Melissa Lispy is the chief administrator of MegaMed, the Calliwell's HMO.
I admit we didn't respond perhaps as quickly as we should have, but our reaction was understandable, I think. If you're a doctor or a hospital administrator, if someone comes to you and says, this baby is a vampire, you're going to downplay that and stall those people. That's just human.
So you thought they were lying?
We have our hands full with the serious problem. So complaints about babies that are in radio contact with Jupiter, or you know, perhaps babies that are born wearing bifocals, or babies that are vampires, we put those on the back burner.
Meanwhile, the child, which Bob and Carmen named Rice Ann, needed the normal amount of care any infant demands and deserves, including regular feedings.
Yeah, her instinct was always to go for the neck. You know, go for the neck. She wouldn't take a bottle straight on. It was just terribly frustrating.
We went through a new plastic bottle at every feeding. The nurses, they had no idea what was wrong, but they accused me of not bonding with the baby because of this weird idea I had about her being a vampire, and, well, that just made us madder.
Yeah, and a day later we took her home and started improvising. You know, we mixed the formula up in a Ziploc bag and let her bite it wherever she wanted. Worked great.
For a while, she started to lose interest, and I tried food coloring in the milk to make it more attractive to her.
Yeah, she liked the red the best. The brighter the better.
But then, after another week or so, she lost interest again and wouldn't take the formula from the bag no matter what color it was. She kept going for my neck.
Luckily, it was winter, and Carmen could wear those heavy sweaters, you know, pulled up as high as possible
or
to give her
scarves.
A little cushion, you
yeah.
know, a little protection from the fangs.
We acted like everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we were beside ourselves with fear, but we still went through the motions of a normal
yeah,
family.
Normal.
Carmen and Bob played with the baby and took her everywhere they went. And, as you can hear in this excerpt from a home video, they even included her in their day-to-day meal preparation.
All right, Rice-Ann, I'm going to put the ground-up ginger in the hot oil. Ready? Wow, look at that. Fun sound. You're back far enough, aren't you? Yeah, you are. Okay, now I'm going to add the garlic. Take a look, Rice-Ann. What? What is this? Poor baby, what's the problem, huh? Oh, that's better. Okay, let's take the garlic. What? Hey, what is it? Is it me? What? You didn't get splattered with oil, did you? Hey, is it the garlic? It is! It's the garlic! How about that? You don't like garlic! You... Uh-oh. Honey!
For Bob, it was another step down a long, winding road that led to an unfortunate, inevitable conclusion.
All the while, we're trying to convince ourselves that this baby is not a vampire, you know, because, well, we just don't want to believe it.
It would cause all sorts of problems getting into the right preschool, for example. So there was a lot of denial going on.
What Bob and Carmen Calloway did next was a tacit admission that they had a terrible and sinister problem. And yet, it was a decision they had to make for the health of their child, which was, of course, their paramount concern.
We put the formula inside a plastic Barney doll and let Rysan bite its neck to get a drink. We told ourselves it was a funny joke.
And to see it, you'd laugh. There was Barney all stretched out, and the baby was really latched onto his neck, wasn't he? I love you.
But it really wasn't funny at all.
No.
Was it?
In the weeks that followed, Carmen and Bob immersed themselves in vampire lore, calling specialists all over the country and around the world to get more information on what to do. But as we'll find out when our story continues, what they heard was not encouraging.